If you have a copy of God's Word, let's go to 2 Chronicles 24, week number 8, Courage to Build for the Future. What an amazing lesson this is. They've all been, in my opinion, not because of God's Word, but this one has truly been a blessing to read through and study and prepare for. One reason is because we just talked about this young man in a different way a few weeks ago and how God spared his life. His grandmother would have killed him if she would have had her wits about her. Unfortunately, she didn't have her wits about her. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. So this is the seven-year-old king. Think about it. Is there anybody 7 years old here tonight? Seven? Eight? Six? How old are you all? nine. Do we have any nine-year-olds? Ten, okay. Gotta hit somebody in here. Wow, okay. Everybody's getting old. That's the problem. Here I am thinking we have an 8 or a 7 or a 9 year old. We have a 10 year old. King Ezra, can you imagine it, huh? Right? But King Joash, he was 7 years old when he began to reign. Tells us that in the very first verse of 2 Chronicles. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All the days of Jehoiada the priest, Jehoiada took for him two wives, begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that, this is a phrase we're going to look at later on, Joash was minded. It's a very important statement there. He was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He gathered together the priests, the Levites, and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money. So the church offering is not a new thing. I know this isn't the church, but they're still taking a collection for the place of worship, the temple. We'll talk about that. But then notice he says in verse number 5 toward the end of it, that ye hasten the matter. I underline that in my notes. The hasten the matter. You know, get to it. This is urgent. Howbeit the Levites hasten not. So we'll stop right there because we're actually covering 14 verses. Solomon, more than likely, we might say, physically speaking, his greatest work was building the temple. David was not allowed to because David was a man of war, and his son Solomon was allowed to build the temple. Unfortunately, when Solomon dies, Israel divides. And now we have two separate kingdoms. Many of you know that, but maybe that's new, and that's fine if it's new. We have 10 tribes. There were 12 altogether, but we have 10 tribes in one area called Israel. That would be the northern part. And then we have two tribes in the southern part, and they were called Judah. And when that happened, not much good happened, quite frankly. In fact, every king in the north was bad. Ever. They never had a godly king. That's just amazing to me. The good news, though, is that in the south, I guess that means it's good to be from the south, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just kidding. We're from southern BC. Aren't you glad for that? Way up north, though, there's not a lot. There's not a lot up in northern. I've been way up north before, up Terrace. Anybody ever been to Terrace? Yeah, boy, that's way up north. There we go. We have a customer in the back. Brother Mark, good. Anyway, but few kings in the south, they followed the Lord, and one of them was Joash. He was a godly king. We just read that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But again, he barely made it out. Now, I say that because, you know, humanly speaking, but God obviously is in charge. He's sovereign. If you want to turn back in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 11, this is what we read actually just a few weeks ago. But we see how his life was miraculously spared in 2 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 2. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, this is the same Joash that we're talking about tonight, the son of Ahaziah, stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. They hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Athaliah was his grandmother, and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. So it appears that at this point in his life, at 7 years old, Joash is the last remaining descendant of Solomon. Now, that's important for one major reason, but for a lot of reasons it's important. But one major reason is that Jesus Christ would come from that line. And so, obviously, there had to be, and of course, God is in control, and he was preserved, and he would the lineage would continue. But the building project that we're going to talk about tonight is this courage to build. And that was to not build from ground up, but really repair. And that's what he was going to lead and what he did lead the people to do. Unfortunately, the temple became a place for everything but worshiping God. It was a place for idol worship. And amazing, isn't that amazing? A remarkable aspect of Joash's courage to build for the future is that Joash had not had people build for his future. In other words, he didn't have a very godly upbringing, as we just read. And I wrote this down to think about it, and I pray you'll think about it, because not everybody has a godly upbringing. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, you were worshiping pagan gods and things of this nature, but maybe you weren't brought up to love the Lord and read the Bible and seek God's will. That was Joash's testimony. I wrote this down. Don't allow the faults of people in your past to impact your present and future. By the way, this doesn't only mean your family. This could mean a friend in the past. It could mean somebody that was in even in a spiritual authority, right? That disappointed you. A choice can be made to seek God's grace to overcome. And then I throw this down. God was just putting the thoughts in my mind. Why pass on a past filled with blank, whatever that is? Why pass that on to your children, grandchildren, anybody you come into contact with? And it is really amazing that our past, if not given over to the Lord, will bring great challenges into our life. So don't allow the faults of people in the past to impact your present and future. We find this in the life of Joash. So the emphasis today is on a physical building. However, let's think about building or rebuilding, I guess you could say. So the emphasis is on an actual rebuilding, but as we look at the notes and the scriptures that we're going to look at, what needs to be rebuilt in your life? What needs to be rebuilt in my life? And not just for now, because now the courage is to build for the future. Build for who would come after me. Build for who would come after you. Does my walk with God need to be rebuilt? Does it need to be examined? Either, whatever it is, as we've looked at all of the previous seven lessons, the one word that we always come back to is, it's going to take courage to make that decision. The first thing that we're going to need is, number one, a willing mind. I was talking to somebody recently, the mind. Right? I can almost guarantee you that that's where it begins to go the wrong direction. But it can also be the place where we stay in the right direction because we're putting into our mind what needs to go in there. So if you feed your mind with the things that aren't of the Lord, then the natural reaping is going to be things that are not pleasing to the Lord. So Joash, this is a huge project. This isn't just something simple. Let's go back to our text now, 2 Chronicles 24, a willing mind. And I kind of pointed this out earlier when we were reading those first few verses. Look, if you will, in verse number 4 of our text. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded. So that's where it started. It started with the willing mind. We've got to get this house in repair. We've got to get the junk out of the house of God. We've got to get things built, rebuilt. Yes, and we're talking about physical things, but there's a lot of spiritual application to what he was doing. And it wasn't going to be easy. Because nothing, really, honestly, I don't mean to be depressing to you tonight, but nothing is easy in the work of the Lord. Nothing. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. We're going to have a willing mind to go the extra mile when we need to. And by the way, don't think it depends all on you. No, it doesn't depend all on you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. I love 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, Paul's writing about giving there. That was last week's lesson. We won't go back there, okay? We already covered that. But that's the context. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. But he said, if there first be a willing mind. I say that's the solution to begin with, right? Discouragement is there, yes. There's the weaknesses that we have, yes. There's the what we can't do. Don't focus on what you can't do. That's the worst thing that I can do and what you can do. But focus on what Christ can do through us. Willing mind. I'm willing to do this. Edgar Allan Guest wrote a poem called It Couldn't Be Done. Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't. But he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. And he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Yes, I agree. It's right here. Willing mind. Letter A. A willing mind gives awareness. It gives awareness. We know what needs to be done when we have a willing mind. He was minded, so he saw what needed to be fixed, repaired. Sometimes I don't see what needs to be done because I'm not really wanting to do anything about it. Right? Oh, man, I'm an expert at that with piles of things that need to be filed or put away or whatever, you know. I'm not going to go that direction because if I see it, you know, it's going to bother me. So I'm just going to walk a different way, you know. I don't have a mind to get it done. But as soon as you have a willing mind, it's amazing how that willing mind leads to those little projects getting done one by one. Well, Joash had prioritized seeking God, so he was minded. Now, the temple being broken down was an outward sign of something far more tragic than a crumbling brick, right? The temple breaking down was an outward sign of an inward problem of the people. The idol worship, the pagan, the being wanting to be like all the ites. So it revealed something. And again, the heart is where it all begins. It's going to apply to doing right or wrong. I want to encourage us tonight, a reminder, to guard our hearts. Because everything comes out of it, right? Now, they've been 16 years since Judah had worshiped the Lord. Imagine what all had been taking place in 16 years of none of the right kind of worship. It would definitely have not been a pleasant thing to deal with. What got in the way? Just all kinds of things, you know, and you can think about that in your life as well, that it's what are we aware of? What is important to you? What is important to me? You know, when Jesus was on the face of the earth, what was important to him? Well, do the will of his Father. And because he was doing the will of his Father, the harvest was important to Jesus. And see, when you're aware of something, you're going to be more willing to be a part of it. Are you aware of the needs of people that don't know Christ? Are we aware of that? I mean, we know that, but I don't know if knowing is being aware. Knowing can just be, I check the box. Yes, I know this figure. But be aware of this. Jesus, in John 4:34, said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Isn't that a great thought? It is not my work. It is not your work to be a gospel spreader. It's his work. So we're doing the work of the Lord, and he gives us the power to do it. What a great thought. Then he said, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, be aware. A willing mind brings awareness. Look through the eyes of the great shepherd. If we look through the eyes of the great shepherd, our awareness will be on those around us. So awareness. It also brings, letter B, a willing mind involves the faithful. The faithful. Israelites, they had the truth. They were supposed to take the truth and be a shining light to others around them. Instead, the other happened. They got too close to the world, and they got too close to the heathen practices, and then they adopted that, and then, of course, their light was, there was none. It was totally extinguished, because how could they tell them about, you know, Jehovah when they were living like the idol worshipers? Would you turn to Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, please. If you're saved tonight, you are a child of God. That's a beautiful gift. Now remember, salvation is not by works. That's what it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So if you're depending on your good works, if you're depending on christening when you were a baby, if you're depending on anything that is what you did or someone did for you, that's not salvation. So really search your heart tonight and make sure you're genuinely born again. Religious people go to hell. This is a no. Religious people go to hell. Don't think that religion is going to do anything. Look at our world is honestly part of the reason why our world is on fire is religion. So it's a relationship. And it goes beyond just coming to church. Look what he says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. That's for you. That's for me. That's for every child of God. Good works because we are saved, not in order to be saved. So don't get, as we say, the cart before the horse. Yes, good works are important. They're biblical, but it's not to get saved. It's because we're saved. God has commissioned you to and me to do good works. Notice he says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow. Now, as we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, Joash realized this was too big for one man. By the way, the local church is not just the one man. It's not just the pastor. It's not Pastor Turner's church, okay? I know some people say that, and they mean well, and I'm not saying it's on, you're not, you know, it's not my church, but I know some people, that's just what they say. It's not even your church. It takes a whole army. And Joash realized that. Look at verse number 5. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites. These were the leaders. Naturally, that's who he should go to, right? That's obviously God sets things in order. Go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God, verse 5, from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten not. Wow. So they didn't follow through on what he told them to do. They didn't want to put in the work. Barnabas and Paul were the kind of men who had a willing mind to do the work. Look at, I'm going to read it for you, maybe for time's sake, Acts 15, 25 and 26. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have a willing mind? A willing mind. These Levites had an unwilling mind for whatever reason. We must all have a willing mind. In what way tonight are you pitching in to the work of the Lord? I want to read this to you about David Livingston. David Livingston. He was a missionary. He suffered great hardship, suffered great loss. Remember what I said earlier, that truly it's never easy. Now, we have the joy of the Lord as our strength, though. Okay? And we're not walking around with poochie lip disease on all the time. That's the Pirate Club. You need to get in that. It'll tell you about poochie lip disease. Okay? But it doesn't mean it's easy. But David Livingston was a missionary who said, people talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice, he says. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life, these may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver. Yes, they do. And the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I never made a sacrifice. This is David Livingston still quoting. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he, capital H-E, made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Wow. Truly that is a sacrifice. So we have Joseph's willing mind, and we have the Levites' procrastination. Wow, what a combination. They weren't very spiritually minded. In other words, they were more apathetic and uncaring. Procrastination, right? You've heard the unknown person who said, procrastination, it's my greatest sin. It brings me endless sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it, perhaps tomorrow. Procrastination. That's me with my pile. I don't have one right now, but you know, I'll do it tomorrow. So we've got to have a willing mind. That's number one. We're going to have courage to build for the future, a willing mind. Number two, a workable plan. A workable plan. Living for and doing things for God don't happen by accident. I don't know who told me this years ago, but I heard this years ago. Plan your work, work your plan. Maybe you've heard that as well. But it's so good. They both go together. Practical steps that we must put in place to lead us to whatever goal that goal may be. And so Joash wanted the temple to be rebuilt. That alone wasn't going to put boards up, right? Wanting it done. There is the want to that we've got to have, but the want to has got to lead to get to it. Number one, or letter A, it was a determined plan. A determined plan. Obstacles, opposition are going to come the very minute you determine to do something and build something for God. Opposition will come from the outside. In this case, sadly, opposition actually for Joash came from the inside. It came from people that should have been willing to help. There should have been people willing to serve. Instead, and unfortunately, they were hindering the work of the Lord. So what does he do about it? Well, number one, Joash confronts the leaders. Look at verse 6 of our text, 2 Chronicles 24.
And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, we'll look at that in a minute, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? What is the delay? What's going on? Let's get to it. He confronted the leaders and asked them the question, why haven't you been doing it? Now, notice Joash was simply asking them something that already should have been happening. Not something new. We're going to look at that text here in just a minute. Joash was ready to, okay, we've got to change what's going on here. Just because we're doing something, but what if we're doing the wrong thing all the time? So something had to change, in other words. And so there was a confrontation with the leaders. He recognized that the responsibility that had been given to these men, and he called them to account for failing to fulfill their duties. Every believer is a part of God's work. If you're saved here tonight, you're a part of the family of God. Aren't you glad for that? And every part is necessary. Even the smallest of parts, when they fail, the body feels it. I'm so thankful, though, that in our body, God has designed it that when something is failing, the blood and other things race to that area to try to help it. And that's what we do as a family. Try to help one another. But we're all needed in the work of the Lord. This Joash was not going to rebuild the temple just because he was king and had power and authority and money and whatever that he needed. He needed help. 1 Peter 2:5. Peter writes, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He has called you, he has equipped me. So he went to the leaders. Number two, Joash constructed a method. Okay, how are we going to get this stalled car moving, if you will? Verse 8, look what he does. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest. The first offering box. It wasn't the first, but an offering box of sorts. And set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. So here is a large chest that is made where people could put their offerings. I don't know if these people had ever seen one of these before. So you could. This is something brand new. Remember, just because something is brand new doesn't mean it's wrong. There's a lot of brand new things that happen over time. The first time that they had this offering chest, and I mean, what is this? What's this all about? You know. But this is what God had led Joash to do. This was creative. This was God-given to Joash. I don't think this was just because Joash sat down and thought about it. I think this was something God put in his heart to do. When God gives you a command, when God instructs you to do something, keep in mind, though, it will never be contrary to the Word of God. So you can't say, well, you know, this is something new that God has given me to do, but it violates the scriptural principle. No, God did not give you that to do. Because God is not going to go against His Word. But we don't want to dismiss new ideas just because it's new. We always test anything with what? God's Word. Test it with God's Word. If it passes the test, then we use it for the glory of God. So this was something new. So he had a plan. First, he goes to the leaders and he says, come on, why aren't they doing anything? And then second, he says, okay, we're going to build this wooden chest. We're going to put a hole in the top and we're going to put it out there. It was not only determined, because that's only half the battle, let's get it deployed. So it was a deployed plan. Verse 9 says that there was an announcement made. All right, everybody listen up. Listen up. We're going to send out an email on the church group account, okay? Listen up. Judah, Jerusalem, verse 9, to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. So basically, he's telling them, look, we're going to start taking the collection up now that Moses talked about. That's in Exodus chapter 30. Let's take a look at that. Exodus chapter 30. So this concept of this offering for the temple was not new. But they hadn't been doing, remember? They hadn't been doing anything for, what did I say, 15 years, 16 years? Yeah. So there was a lot of back tithing that was needed, and I'm just kidding. There was a lot of, you know, they needed to get going here. So he says, look, this isn't Joash's plan. This is Moses, the great one, right? The writer of the law, the great leader. Look at verse 30 and verse 16. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the what? Tabernacle of the congregation. Of course, there was no temple yet in this sense. But this offering was for the tabernacle. That it may, Solomon's temple. That it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. So this was a memorial offering already commanded by God to Moses. So he gives the people these steps to carry out the plan. But it had to be deployed. That's what I'm saying. It's great. I wrote this down. Planning is good and necessary. Planning with no practice is a waste of time. If you're going to sit around and plan all day long and never do anything, what good's the planning? Now, it might take a day or two to plan, but let's get going. And that's what Joash is saying. Let's get the box out there. Let's get the collection coming in. We've got to rebuild the temple. So there was a willing mind, and there was a workable plan. This is the plan that God gave. And that brought in, number three, a wonderful provision. Because God always provides. God has a way, and God will provide. What happens when Joash says, let's do it the Bible way? What do you know? Let's do it like Moses said. And guess what happened? Money came in. Provision came in. They brought in generous offerings. In fact, they brought in so much that the chest had to be emptied on a regular basis. Just kept coming in. They caught the vision. They saw the importance. And then they acted on that. This happened as well. Look at Exodus 36. If you're still there where we were just a minute ago. Close by. A few chapters later. And it says in verse 5, and they spake unto Moses, saying, this is an unbelievable, these are, you know, the whole Bible is unbelievable, but this is just, this will make you say, wow, okay? The people bring much more than enough. We have too much money. That's why I said it, make you go wow. Especially as a pastor. Wow. He says, we have more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Exodus 30, verse 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed. I laugh too when I read this each time. Throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering. Everybody stop giving. Yeah, that is funny, isn't it? Everybody stop giving. Notice what it says. I've underlined this. So the people were restrained. Wow. From giving. From bringing, pardon. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it. And notice the end of verse 7. Too much. There's an emphasis there, right? Too much. God is not limited to what is possible for us. I mean, this offering box, this is crazy. I bet some people thought, what is Joash thinking? He was just following the leading of the Lord. When somebody's following the leading of the Lord, it may not make sense at the beginning, but as they're following the leading of the Lord, just follow. That doesn't mean we're following blindly, you know, we're, you know, some, you know, crazy man. No, we're following people that are following the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ, right? Letter A, the need was met by God's people. Money did not come flying down out of heaven. Look at the shekels there. We had a shekel shower today, right? No, I didn't. You know, there wasn't a bunch of other bills, or if they had other, mainly coins, right? But on the trees, you know, they say money grows on trees. That didn't happen then, doesn't happen now. It was met by the people of God. It was met by what they had. God's plan is for us tonight to be actively working, taking part in His plan to build His work. Who does God use to build His work? You and me. We are the church. We are the arms. We are the feet, even if they don't work very good. We are the feet. We are the eyes. We are everything for the Lord. It's not us, but He's using us. And to accomplish this, it is important for all the people to be doing the work. I didn't realize this until this lesson, but there's a bit, maybe all of you knew it, but I'm a little slow, I guess, but there's a business principle called Pareto Principle, the Pareto Principle. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I didn't realize that actually had a name. Now, that's in business, but it's and whatever, but we're not a business. And we don't want that to be the way it is at Anchor Baptist Church, because if that's the way it is at Anchor Baptist Church, we're not going to be able to get everything done that God wants us to do. And it's not about getting it done for us. It's getting it done for Christ. Because remember the cross, like we said earlier. David Livingston said, you know, this isn't sacrifice. Let's go to Calvary. Now we're talking sacrifice. What am I contributing? Think about it. And I'm not talking about the shekel shack in the back, okay? I'm not talking about the offering right now. What am I contributing? What am I contributing to the work of the Lord? Ephesians 4, it says this in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body. Not half the body, a third of the body, a quarter of the body, the whole body. Fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Wow, we need it all. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Those words are so powerful when you read them. Whole body, every part. Man, just take your time sometimes. Read something over again. If you don't quite get it, read it a second time. Man, I just reading that verse right here. I've read that verse thousands, maybe not thousands, hundreds of times. But even those words are jumping off of the notes here. Whole, every. That's why it's so important for you to be the Christian God saved you to be. First, be the Christian. Not be a laborer first. Be in love with the Lord. Be in love with God. Be in love with this book. He will help you to be the laborer, but put Him first. Not even laboring, that's not first. Sometimes we get that out of order, and we labor, 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 and if we don't love, 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 I guarantee you the laboring is going to, it's not going to be fun after a while, and we're going to say, well, this is no good. But if we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we'll be able to labor until Jesus comes, and we'll love doing it. Yes, we might have tired moments, but we'll get rejuvenated in the Lord. So put Him in order. Christ first, loving the Lord, and then loving His work. So, but it was met by God's people. Letter B, the work was finished. Aren't you glad for that? Boy, when you get the project done. Whew. Isn't that great, kids? When you get that room cleaned, finally, right? Finally, you get that bed made like it's supposed to be. You get all the Anchor anniversary gifts picked up and put in the place where they're supposed to be over the years, you know. It was finished. The chest filled up. Look at 2 Chronicles, back to our text, verse 12. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, hired masons. They were able. How were they able to do the work of the Lord? Because they gave to the work of the Lord. They hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in estate and strengthened it. Wow. What a blessing. Verse 14. And when they had finished it, that's a great statement right there. When they had finished it. Wow. Let's finish faithful, amen? I don't know when that's going to be, but you can finish, by the way, you can finish every day. Don't think about finishing, you know, well, glory would be great. This world is not my home. We sang it earlier. But how about finishing every day? faithful. Not perfect, faithful. Finish the week, the month, the year, you get what I'm saying, right? Break it down. When they had finished it, that's such an encouraging statement. They brought the rest of the money. Everything's done. They got a pile left. Before the king and Jehoiada, who's the priest, whereof were made, so here's what they did with the rest, vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons, vessels of gold and silver. They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. God is not going to take you and me partway to the goal. God is not going to take us three quarters of the way to the goal, whatever that is. God is going to take us all the way. Because God is a God who finishes. And there is coming a day when God will finish. We must continue to labor for Him. Because God is a God who finishes, we must be wholly committed. No one can take you and say, be wholly committed. It doesn't work that way. It must come from a genuine, a genuine love for the Lord that I want to be committed to Christ. Be willing not to abandon Him partway. Again, it's not easy. The flesh will fail you. It will fail me. But Jesus never fails. Amen? Never. He's not going to start with you. We have an example to follow in Christ. Let's go to the high priestly prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, by the way. John 17. The other one is great, and it's a great model prayer, and we should respect, it's in the Word of God, but it's not the Lord's Prayer, per se. Jesus did not need to be forgiven of anything. But He did pray. Many times He prayed. And this is what we call the high priestly prayer of John 17. And we're not going to read all of it, but look at verse 4. Bless you. I have glorified Thee on the earth. Notice these next three words. I have finished. Second Chronicles, they finished the repairs. Jesus says, I have finished the work. Later on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. See, God is a God who finishes. Let's finish faithful for God right now, today. Only a few hours left. Tomorrow morning when we get up, God, I want to live this day for Your honor and glory. Mark them off until 365 every year. I want to be faithful. Jesus is our example. You say, I don't have a godly example here. You have a godly example in the Lord. All of us do. Galatians 6:9. And let us be not weary in well-doing. Paul said, and let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Every great work of God needs what we saw tonight, a willing mind. Are you minded like He was? A willing mind, a workable plan. God will help you with the plan. A wonderful provision, and God will always provide. Wow. You know, I've read this part before, but really, God really helped me personally reading through that several times leading up to tonight. Because our life, God is the one who's working on our life. Right? He is the potter. Just like they were working with materials in this Second Chronicles, God is working tonight on your life and mine to make a beautiful vessel
that will bring him honor and glory. Just don't tell the potter what to do. Let the potter do the work. Because remember, he always finishes. Whatever his hands are working on, he always finishes it. And that means your life. You might look at your life tonight and say, this does not look like the potter is, but he is. You are. I am. We are in his hands. Remember, it's not going to be easy. But we have the gift of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the family of God. And we have the joy of the Lord. God always finishes. So, courage to build for the, yes, now, but also for the future.